All right, grab your copy of God's Word. Can you say this with me? Say, I am what God's Word says I am. I can do what God's Word said I can do. I can become all that God said I could be. So today, I'll hear God's Word, I will receive God's Word, and I will obey God's Word because I love His Word. Now go ahead and turn to your neighbor and say, it looks like Christmas at 70 degrees today. That's what it's about to look like. Christmas at 70. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Many of you have already received your handout notes today, and the scriptures will also be on the screens. But hey, we want to take a moment and welcome all those who are joining with us online and by CD. There's a lot of those of our ministry teams that are missing this service so they can take care of your children. And let's take a moment and greet them. Come on, let's go ahead and do it. We thank God for you. We bless you today. Glad you're here. And as you're turning to Luke chapter 2, I did hear a story one time about a man that got a phone call from the credit card company because his wife had her credit card stolen during the holiday season. And so there was a real concern about this, and it was about a week later, and they gave another phone call saying, sir, I'm just so glad to tell you we caught the thief. And they went over the statement of what the thief had spent with his wife's credit card, and the man, without missing a beat, said, listen, let the thief keep it. He's spending less than my wife does, so just go ahead and let it happen. When you think about a season of giving, not a season of taking, right? As a child, you grow up thinking that it's all about you and it's all about the gifts that you get. But in reality, as you grow into maturity, you find that it's all about the gifts that you get to give. And God so loved the world that He gave. He gave the greatest gifts of all. And so we're going to talk about this season of giving and specifically going and telling, because it's not just about the gift you physically give, but the best possible gift you could give this Christmas season is the gift of your faith, giving away God's story in you, witnessing, sharing the love of Jesus Christ. And so today, what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring you through probably the very simplest message that I've preached all year long. I want to make it so simple today that a child can understand. I want it to be so simplistic that you go out remembering it, that you've got it on your brain, that you think about it. I'm not going to delve deep into theological concepts. Maybe for some of you it might be a little deeper than you expected, but for what I really want to do is that everyone in this room realizes you have a gift to give. Now, here it is in Luke chapter 2, and before we get to verse 15, I'll just describe and remind you, the shepherds were in the field keeping watch over their flock by night, and suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared in all of His glory and said, I'm so excited to tell you, there's a child that was born in Bethlehem. It's Christ the Lord, and a host of angels appeared with them. It's the glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And now, here it is in Luke chapter 2, verse 15. It says, when the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone. Can you say those four words with me? The shepherds told everyone. Let's say it again. The shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. Now, Pastor Bart asked this a little bit ago, and few of you responded, so I'm going to ask it again to give you the opportunity for an appropriate response. How many of you are excited about Christmas? There we go. How many of you have all your Christmas shopping done? Whoa, there's a couple of you that are go-getters, man. I like it. All the adults, you know, they get excited about Christmas only after they've gotten all the Christmas shopping done because of all the stress, all the pressure, right? I remember a story one time about a little boy, and he wanted a certain kind of watch. And it was this Apple Watch, and it was like a pretty extravagant gift. And so he kept asking his dad, and every time he'd go online, he'd send little pictures to his dad, text pictures to his dad, talk to his dad about it. Dad, I want this watch. Dad, I want a watch. Dad, this watch, I really want it. And he kept asking and asking until finally the dad was kind of sick of it. He's like, look, stop asking me for the watch. Sure enough, the kid asked again, Dad, I really want this watch. He said, son, I'm telling you, this is the last time. If you say it one more time, you want this watch, you better know it's for sure not going to happen. Well, later that night, they were sitting around the dinner table, and they began to open up the Bible. And the dad went around to the different kids and said, just tell us, what's your favorite verse in all the scriptures? The little boy said, my favorite verse, Daddy, is Mark chapter 13, verse 17. It says this, Daddy, I say to you what I've already said, watch. Oh. But Christmas is my favorite time of year. Think about this. You could have all of traffic stopped on Ross Clark Circle. Just because 2,000 years ago, in a small Middle Eastern town, the town of Bethlehem, in a stable, in a manger, a baby was born. Why would a baby's birth 2,000 years ago still stop traffic today? How is that possible? And listen, how is it possible that a baby's birth announcement could shut down all of the businesses in this city and in this region, in this nation, in this world? Businesses are going to stop working. Employers are going to stop what they're doing and have a special party, a birthday party. Look, I understand having like the birthday month or having a birthday week where they include all the employees, but this is like they shut down all day just to party for somebody's birthday. A birthday that happened 2,000 years ago. Why would that be? What's the big deal? And by the way, just so you know, God loves parties. He's not anti-parties. God loves parties so much that he said, when one person repents, when one person comes to know him as Lord and Savior, the Bible says all of heaven throws a party. All of heaven rejoices. The angels in heaven throw a party because someone came to know the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Christmas is supposed to be a party, a birthday party for Jesus. Yet it's ironic that the birthday boy is often left out of the party. My daughter, our daughter, sorry. When I did all that work and effort to push that child into existence, my child. Our daughter just turned 20. And we kind of missed out on the celebration opportunity because she's at college and she'll be back home in a little bit. So we sent her some gifts and sent her some cards. But can you imagine if she was home celebrating her 20th birthday and we gather friends from all over the place that love her, care about her. We all show up with presents and we exchange gifts with each other and don't even act like she's there. Can you imagine? Oh, wouldn't that be cruel if we set up a birthday cake and we cut a bunch of slices and we gave the cake out to everybody else except her? Can you imagine not even acknowledging her existence on a day that we're gathered together to celebrate her birthday? And often that's what happens. Amid the Black Friday shopping and the Cyber Monday shopping. How many of you did the Black Friday shopping? Some insane people in the room. God bless you. Most of you said, forget it. I'm not going to brave it. I'm doing the Cyber Monday. I'll get just as good a deal, whatever it was. But those of you that did the Black Friday shopping and punched out old ladies to get the last toy that's in the toy bin for your child. Somebody said amen to that. All right. Couldn't get an amen before, but I got one there. Punching out ladies. Anyway, you got to think in the middle of all the hustle and bustle, what in the world is all this about anyway? Why are we celebrating Christmas anyway? Why should it matter to us? Why? Because it was no ordinary baby. God said it He said it actually through his word and through prophets that foretold the coming of Messiah. He said, God is coming to earth. God is going to put skin on and become a human being. One of my favorite passages of scripture is the story of the birth of Christ. But I also like those stories that were turned into songs. You know, the Christmas carols. Pastor Adam did a great job this morning singing one of those Christmas carols. But when you think about the time of year that people hear more about Jesus than any other, often people think about the resurrection. They think about Easter. But in reality, there's no other time. There's, matter of fact, no greater time that I can think of in all the year than right now. Right now, as people are going through the mall, right now, as people are going through the grocery stores, they are listening to the theology of Christianity. Think about angels we've heard on high. It's telling about the storyline of Christ and his birth. You're going into malls and you're going into shopping centers where they can't even say Merry Christmas to you. But you can hear songs like Go Tell It on the Mountain that Jesus Christ was born, or Silent Night, Holy Night, all is calm, all is bright. In the middle of their shopping insanity, they're hearing about Jesus' love for them, which means this is the greatest time in all of the year that we can make an impact, make a difference. That Christmas carol that I shared earlier, Go Tell It on the Mountain, that song actually came from a couple of different passages. One is in Isaiah 52:7 that says, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the messengers who brings the good news of peace and salvation. And then in the New Testament, it kind of reiterates it and is even more poignant in this in Romans 10:14-15. Look at the obvious progression throughout this passage of Scripture. Look at it with me. It says in verse 14 of chapter 10 of the book of Romans, how can they call on him, God, to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard? Everybody say never heard. If they've never heard about him. And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That's why the scriptures say how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news. So what are these verses talking about? It's talking about witnessing. It's talking about sharing your faith. It's talking about telling others about the Messiah, that Jesus Christ is born. And what I shared with you early in our ministry over the past year, and what I'll continue to remind you about witnessing, is this. It's not all of your theology and all of your doctrine poured out on somebody. It's not all your Bible knowledge that's poured out. Think about this. Witnessing is truly this. If you're standing, or seated on a witness stand, right? You go up there and you put your hand on the Bible and you tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God, right? And then you are seated and the prosecuting attorney or the defense attorney begins to ask certain questions of you. But here's what they will ask. What they really want, they don't want you to sway the judge in making a right decision. They're not calling you to sway the jury with your eloquent words. They're calling on you to tell what you have seen and heard. That's what they want. They want for you to be able to tell what you have seen and what you've heard. And being an eyewitness means that you are a credible witness. Friends, we are credible witnesses in this room. We have seen and we have heard the goodness of Almighty God. We've experienced, I'll take it a step further, we've experienced the presence and power and beauty and wonder and majesty of Almighty God. With that in mind, you're the most credible witnesses to share what you've seen and what you've heard, to tell people your testimony. Do you know that when you share the love of God through your testimony, how God has changed your life, it's even more exciting to others than you sharing what you believe in terms of doctrine and theology? It's true. Why? Because people can argue doctrine and theology all day long, but they cannot argue with your story. They can't argue with your testimony of faith. They can't argue about how God has changed your life. They can't argue with it. Everyone during this holiday season seems to be hearing about Jesus, but we're really not listening or understanding. How many parents in the room? Got any parents in the room? How many remember if you either have or have had small children growing up in your home, those days where your kids are talk, right? As you were a young parent, you were begging God to let that kid say their first word. Let's say it like this. Be careful what you ask for, because once that child starts talking, Daddy, how are fries made? I don't know. They put it in grease. I don't know. Well, who made the fries? Well, the people at the store. Well, how did the fries get made? Well, there's potatoes that are made. What are potatoes, Dad? I mean, just over and over. But there are certain seasons where your kids will be talk, and they'll ask you a question in the middle of all their talking, and you'll just say, yeah, whatever. But you're not really listening. You're not paying attention. And all of a sudden, you find that they're doing something that you didn't think that they were supposed to do, or going someplace you didn't think they were supposed to go. And you come up to them and you say, son, why are you doing that? But you said I could. Right? Okay, let's act like we're all perfect parents and that's never happened. Okay. Let's take it to the time that you were a child and now you're in school, in elementary school, and the clock is ticking and you know that Christmas time is almost here and you're coming down to the last few hours of the school day, knowing that Christmas, that Christmas celebration time is coming, knowing that you won't have to attend school for those couple of weeks. And now you're on the countdown to Christmas and the countdown to Christmas break. And something happens that's so magical. If you ever watch Charlie Brown or the Charlie Brown specials for Christmas, you'll find that your teacher begins to sound exactly like Charlie Brown's teacher. Wah, 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 wah. Wah, 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 wah. You can't even hear your teacher. Why? Because you can't get your mind off the clock. It's countdown to Christmas break. And some people walking through the mall, some people walking through the Christmas parties, some people in the middle of the celebration of Jesus, they're not listening. They're not hearing. They don't really understand the meaning of Christmas. Everywhere they look, there's manger scenes. Everywhere they look, there's lights and trees and celebrations and signs and songs reminding them of the beauty of this year and this celebration and what we're doing of Christmas. But they're missing it. Here's what the very first Christmas, the birth of Jesus, it began with an angel's announcement to some lowly shepherds. But their response made all the difference. And can I just tell you, in this room, your response is going to make all the difference in the world. Let's look at their three responses, the shepherd's response. Again, I'm going to make this as simple and as plain as I can. Here it is. The first response, write it in. The first response in Luke chapter 2, verse 15, it says, let's go. Write it down. Let's go to Bethlehem. They didn't want to wait to hear about it from somebody else. They wanted to see it for themselves. The second response, Luke chapter 2, verse 15, the same passage. It says, let's see, right? We want to find out for ourselves. Let's see what has happened. And the third response is this in Luke chapter 2, verse 17. Let's tell. The Bible says that the shepherds told everyone what had happened. Let's go, let's tell, or let's see, and let's tell. Three action words, by the way, which responding for us means we got to do something about it. We can't just think about it or sit on it. And here's the response of the people that the shepherds had told the story to. It doesn't say that the people thought that they were crazy. And by the way, let's face it. If you went in and to work tomorrow and all of a sudden a coworker came up to you and said, hey, I just wanted to let you know this morning, I saw an angel. The angel talked to me, told me to go to a barn, find out that there was a couple that was there last night and gave birth to a child that's going to be the Savior. Look, let's be honest. You be thinking somebody's sucking back on Grandpa's cough medicine. You know, somebody is messing with your mind. You got some issues. And that same fear could have caused those shepherds to stop and go, guys, seriously, I don't think we want to tell anybody about this. Let's just stay right here. Let's act like this never happened and we will not speak about this ever again. But they didn't let fear stop them. Look at what it says. It says in Luke chapter 2, verse 18, all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. Other translations say it like this. They were amazed and the people were impressed. Or they were astounded and the people marveled. Think about that. It's beautiful. And friends, you may not think that you are too important, or maybe you don't think like your job or your job description is too important, but can I just remind you, those shepherds had an insignificant task of watching sheep, but God chose them because God knew they would tell. Once they saw, they would go and they would tell. Would God trust you with that glorious gospel message? I'll tell you this, he did. And he does trust you. Matter of fact, if you think that God forgot about you, the good news is over 73 times in the Bible, it says God remembers you. Matter of fact, you were chosen by God for the most important assignment in human history, to speak on behalf of God. You were chosen. Just look at your neighbor right now and just let them know you were chosen. Just let them know. Come on, let them know. You were chosen. You were chosen. Handpicked by God to tell the story about Christ, to speak for God, to be his messenger. You might think, well, what does my voice make a difference? Why does me sharing, anybody else could share it. Mark, you are sharing it right now. Why do I have to share it? Let me tell you why. Tell you a story one time about heard about a man in South Korea. He was a young man, and he was diagnosed with tuberculosis to the point that one of his lungs had collapsed. He was waiting at home in pain, literally waiting to die. And he began to call out to different gods. He had heard about certain names of certain gods in his culture. And so he began to go through the list and just begin to call out to the different names of the different gods that he had heard about in his lifetime. Not really even believing what he was saying. And finally, in desperation, he said, God, if you're out there, whatever name you have, if there's a God in heaven, I'm not asking you to heal me. Just show me how to die. Totally hopeless. A few moments later, there was a young college student that was walking through the neighborhoods. And in the middle of her walk, she felt, as she describes it, an unexplainable love that drew her to this particular person's house. Didn't know who lived there, didn't even know if they were home. Knocked on the door, not really knowing what to expect, and said, I don't exactly know why I'm here, but if there's anything you need me to pray about, I'll be glad to pray. It was his mother, that boy's mother, that answered the door that day. She burst out in tears. She said, I don't know what's going to happen. My son's in his bed. He's waiting to die, and we don't know what to do. She said, well, can I pray for him? The mom led her back to this room, and this young college woman began to pray over this young man, talking to him about Jesus, talking to him about how Jesus had changed her life. This young man gave his life to the Lord Jesus Christ miraculously. Intervened in his situation. He called out to a God that he didn't even know his name, didn't even know who he was calling out to, and God sent a young teenager to minister the love of Jesus Christ. But that's not the end of the story. A few weeks later, the Lord miraculously and instantaneously healed him of that disease. And can I tell you, that man this day is the pastor of the largest church in human history, over 1 million members in his church, Dr. Paul Yonggi Cho, the pastor at South Korea. Can I just tell you, you never know the end of the story, but what you do have is the opportunity. You don't know the end of the story about going to some neighbor's house and giving him cookies and saying, is there anything I can pray with you about? You don't know the end of the story about some coworker that you share the love of Jesus Christ with. You don't know the end of the story when you share with your friends or family members of the love of Jesus Christ, but can I tell you, God does. And he's trusted you with the greatest gift you could possibly give, and that's your testimony, your witness. See, the fact is, if that girl that day heard the voice of God in her spirit speaking, she didn't say she heard an audible voice saying, go to this spot, to this number of this house. No. She just felt an impression. The unexplainable love that she was describing was the love that God had for that young man. Don't you think that God has a love for every lost soul? He came to this earth to seek and to save those who are lost. But what the enemy wants to do is fight you. And I'm sure that young lady probably fought in her own spirit. This is just stupid. What if they're not even home? And what if they open the door and they don't like me, or they spit in my face, or they tell me, no, get away? What if I'm just hearing stuff? What if this isn't really what I'm supposed to do after all? And I'm busy. I got TikTok. I got some stuff to do, God. I got really important things to do. More important than sharing the love of Christ that would save a man who ends up being the pastor of the largest church in the world. See, we don't see it like that. We don't often see the payoff. We see the price tag. The payoff is someone heard the gospel message of Jesus Christ and could be changed forever. The price tag is possibly your own getting over your own fears about what may or may not happen if you share. Think about it. See, what the enemy's trying to do is he's trying to steal your voice. He's trying to give you spiritual laryngitis. I know there's a lot of people in this room. You've been battling a few of the cold symptoms where we've gotten the temperature that raises up and then lowers and then raises and lowers. And you've had some of that, the cough and the laryngitis. The enemy is trying to steal your voice, giving you spiritual laryngitis. Fear to speak. Most of you have heard my testimony about when I was a young man and God healed literally my voice. My vocal cords were in jeopardy because I had epiglottitis, which means the flap in the back of your throat that opens and closes had swollen to the point that I could not breathe. And my parents rushed me to the emergency room and they had people praying for me and God instantaneously healed me. But can I tell you this? I truly believe that the reason that God healed me was not just so that a young boy could yell and scream and get excited about life. It was because God knew that right now, this day, on December 17th of 2017, God knew there was a voice that needed to be heard, a cry in this place that says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And God is saying to you, your voice is important. And the enemy is trying to steal that voice. There's an enemy of your soul that tries to bring discouragement. Or fear. I was at the gym the other day and felt just an impression to go speak with somebody. And, you know, I really don't like to talk to people while they're working out because people that have headphones on and are very sweaty and are pumping out, you know, the last rep do not really want to talk to anybody at that moment. Just saying. It's just a reality. But I felt so impressed by it, I went over and I said, hey man, I don't want to take up a bunch of your time. Just want to let you know, God impressed me to just say a prayer for you. So while I was doing my workout, I just want to let you know, I said a couple prayers for you. Do you mind me asking what your name is? And he told me his name is Emmanuel. How about that? Which means God's with us. And he began to share in that moment, the storyline of part of his life and some of the aspects of his life that he really desperately needed God's intervention. Can I just tell you, that brief moment of reaching out, and since then we've met up a couple of different times and God's given opportunity for influence. Anybody that's gone out to lunch with me, most of the staff has seen this happen 100 times over. A waiter or a waitress will come up and, of course, cordial, kind, we're connecting, and all of a sudden, I'll just simply, veer as they're getting ready to put down the food before us to say, hey, listen, we're about to pray over our meal. Is there anything that I could pray with you about? I've had waiters and waitresses begin to break down and cry and sit down next to us at the table. Stop working. I'm the one that makes the food late, guys. If you're wondering, just... And begin to weep and say, nobody's ever said that to me before. Nobody's ever cared like that before. Friends, that's something so small, so incredibly insignificant. I didn't tell them all the theology that I knew. I didn't tell them all the doctrine that I had. I just shared the love of Christ. And that's what I'm asking you to do today. That's what God's asking you to do. This Christmas could be the greatest harvest we have ever seen, but we got 1 week. 1 week to make an impact. And of course, it doesn't stop there. We can make it all year long. But I believe this is a strategic time. A strategic time. every day you're on assignment. So we've talked about the shepherd's response. We've talked about the people's response that heard the shepherds. Now let's talk about our response. Here it is. Very quickly, write this in. You say, well, where should I go? Go ahead and write that in. Where should I go? The answer is anywhere and everywhere. Just go. Find a place. Wherever you're at is your assignment that day. You say, well, number two is, what do I need to see? Because the shepherds responded by what they saw. You need to see what God sees. You need to see the hurting and lost people. Do you know that there's people right now that look different than you, talk different than you, act different than you, have a different response to life than you do, and God's calling you to them not to see the differences, but to see what God sees? God wants you to see them the way God sees them, as a lost soul. To share the love of God with them can be so simplistic. And the third thing you say, well, what should I tell? Or who should I tell, rather? And what should I say? Tell them the good news about Jesus Christ, what he's done for you. Tell them a Savior has been born. Tell them you're celebrating Christmas, and the reason you're celebrating is because Jesus has made an impact on your life, has changed you. I want you to do this, if you would, if you'll turn your attention toward the screens for just a moment. I want to introduce you to a concept about the significance of your voice during this holiday season. Go ahead and take a look.
Okay, here's a question. Do you believe you have a personal responsibility to share your faith? Surveys have shown that the overwhelming majority of you would answer yes. Okay, so what about this question? Have you shared your faith with anyone in the last 6 months? Surveys have shown that a majority of you would answer this question, no. I guess it's just not as easy as it seems, or at least as easy as we'd like it to be. Well, here's another question. How many times have you personally invited an unchurched person to church? Now, this seems simple, right? And yet, surveys tell us that almost half of you would answer, zero. I mean, there are lots of reasons why we don't, right? Like, maybe it still feels a little awkward and uncomfortable. Or maybe we're just unsure how effective it is. Or we just expect to hear them say, well, no. Okay, so listen to this. When people are asked why they came to church in the first place, the vast majority of them say, I began attending because someone invited me. It wasn't the music or the pastor. It wasn't the childcare, the youth program, or the building. Although these are all great things, important and valuable things, the main thing that got most of you up and through that door the first time wasn't any of these. It was an invitation. Christmas will be here soon, and it's the perfect time to share with others what your faith is all about. And it can all start with one more simple question. Want to come to church on Sunday? Let's change the stats and let God change hearts and lives this Christmas. And let's start with something simple. An invitation.
See, that invitation can be everything. And our ushers are coming at this time, and they have all of these invitations. And I'm going to say it like this. They're not just invitations, they're bringvitations. Because you can bring somebody with you, but they're going to pass those out right now. If you'll go ahead, ushers, and just pass those down the aisles. They're just simple invitations to come out and be a part of our Christmas, our one-hour Christmas Eve celebration, our one-hour New Year's celebration. And you can take as many as you'd like. As a matter of fact, if you want to take a whole bunch of them, we'll get you more if you'd like. It has the physical address and the website address and all those things listed, the times of our services, all those things. But all we want, even if you don't use these at all, and friends, you can maybe choose not to use those at all. That's not the point. The point is, are you sharing the love of Christ? John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have eternal life. And in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, Joseph was told in a dream to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Can I tell you, that's the story of Jesus, that he came to save us from our sin. What is sin? It's not a list of just do's and don'ts. Matter of fact, what's the middle letter of sin? I. What's the middle letter of pride? I. Sin is an I problem. I want to do this my way. I want to live my own way. And Jesus comes and says, but I have a better way for you. You say, I want to be my own boss. I don't need God. I'll do my own thing. That attitude, it causes us to be separated from God. So you may be looking for salvation in the wrong places, looking for meaning and fulfillment. And there's people all over this city that are saying, well, if I could just have that, then I'll be happy. For Christmas, if I could just get this, then I'll truly be happy. Can I remind you of this? The answer is not found in a place. It's not found in a position. It's not found in a promotion. And it is certainly not found in a pill. It is found in a person. And his name is Jesus Christ. He wants you to be the restorer of broken relationships. God so loved the world. That's why he sent Jesus. And you and I are on a mission of love from God. God says, I've assigned you something. It's called the Great Commission. Think about the Great Commission for a moment. That great commandment that he gave his disciples, that before he went up, right after his resurrection, there was his ascension. And the Bible says that as Jesus was getting ready to go up into the clouds, he said, I want you to do this one thing. Be my witnesses. Be my witnesses. Friends, do you know God gave you the most significant command of all time? Each one of us is on assignment by God to be able to share the love of Jesus Christ, to tell the story. And it's up to us. It's not up to the TV preacher. It's not even up to each and every pastor at a local church. Matter of fact, God called me as your pastor to, the Bible says, to equip you to do the work of the ministry. Did you know that? It's not just that I'm supposed to do the work of the ministry, and absolutely I should and am. I'm taking that personal assignment very personally. But it's my job to equip you to do the work of the ministry. And that's why I gave you some of these scriptures to help you to be able to know what to say or to know what to do. God didn't come to scold you. He came to save you. You couldn't earn your way into salvation. Here's what it says in Ephesians 2. It's by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, so no one can boast. You want to give away the greatest gift of all time? Give away the gift of God. What does that mean? You can't earn it or deserve it. That's what it means. It's just a gift. You can't be good enough to receive it or to get into heaven. Matter of fact, heaven is perfect. The only way to get into heaven is if you're perfect. And the only perfect one was Jesus. And then he made a way for us where there was no way. And he said, I'm going to make you perfect, not because of your good works, but because of faith in me. I'm going to get you there. I'm going to make a way for you. Romans 6:23, you know the story, for the wages or the payment of sin is death. But here it is, the free what? The free gift of eternal life, of God, is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The best gift he gave was his son. And the angels told the shepherds that Jesus was coming to bring peace on earth. Some of you need peace in your lives today. Some of you are going through real challenges and you have no peace, no inner peace. You can't have peace within yourself if you don't have peace with God. And you can't have peace with others without having the Prince of Peace intervene and come in and make a way. That song that says, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. As long as you're wanting to run your own life and do your own thing, you'll never find the peace of God. Romans 5:1 says this, now that we have been put right with God through faith, we have peace with God. See, there's the condition there. Now that you've been put right with God, how? Through what? Through faith. See, we're at war with God when we live without God, but we need to make a peace treaty. So the question is, have you made peace with God? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes for just a moment? Lord, as we're believing you for strategic opportunities, Lord, to make peace with other people or to have peace within ourselves, we have to have peace first with you. And Lord, we want to be your messengers, sharing the good news, the gospel. But Lord, our response makes all the difference. Just like the shepherds, they had to, what they had to see, they had to tell. And so, Lord, we've seen a lot. We know that you love us. You have a plan for our lives. But Lord, I pray that today would be the day of salvation. And even for those that maybe are separated from you, Lord, God, I pray in your name that you would just release your love over them. If you keep your heads bowed and eyes closed for just a moment, as I've said, I've tried to make this message so incredibly simplistic. Because of the love of God, he loved you so much that he sent his son Jesus, that he would live a perfect and sinless life, born of a virgin, that he might die on a cruel cross to pay the penalty for your sin and for mine. And so today, if you would simply say this, Mark, I need Jesus' love to come into my life. I need his forgiveness in my life. Maybe you need a fresh start today. Maybe others of you, you'd say, Mark, there's sin that's separating me from God, that I problem that you talked about, that I want what I want instead of what God wants. Maybe others of you in this room, you'd say, Mark, if I'm real honest, I've been running from God. Maybe there was a situation that maybe you were hurt by. Maybe you were hurt by a church member or hurt by somebody in church life. Maybe you were hurt by a situation that you were believing and trusting that something good was going to come out of, and it just became a disaster. Can I tell you, God didn't make that disaster happen to you, but God wants to love you through it. He's reaching out his hands to you today to say, I love you. And he wants to give you a fresh start. If that's you in this room and you say, Mark, that's me, pray for me, include me in this closing prayer. Listen, I'm not here to embarrass you. It's not my heart to judge you. I want to simply invite you into relationship with the one who can set you free. If that's you, all across this place, I want you to simply do this as the acknowledgement of that need, saying, Mark, include me in this prayer right now. I want you to lift up your hand all across this place. Lift it up. Yes, God bless you. Yes, yes, yes. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. God bless you. Yes. God bless you. Anybody else? That's you today. Just lift it up. God bless you. About 7 hands went up, acknowledging that need. God bless you. You can put your hands down. I want to pray this prayer. But before I do, there may be others of you in this room, Christians, that you feel like you are right with God. Everything's great between you and God. The problem is you're currently living with the regret of missed opportunities. First of all, the Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So if you're a child of the King, then right now, the only one that's going to hold those regrets over your head is the enemy trying to remind you that you didn't live up to the standard. But today, God can give you a fresh opportunity. He can give you a new start. So if you're a Christian in this room, you love God and everything's right between you and God, but you'd say, Mark, in all honesty, there's areas of regret that I'm living with for missed opportunities. Would you lift up your hand all over the place? Yeah, God bless you. So many hands lifted all over the place. God bless you. God bless you. I want to remind you today, God bless you, yes. You can put your hands down. As I lead you in this prayer, you don't have to have regrets about tomorrow if you'll take advantage of the opportunity that you're given tomorrow. And God doesn't have to throw you a softball and say, okay, here it is. Somebody's going to fall down at your feet tomorrow at your job and say, what must I do to be saved? No, you may have to be able to reach out a little, reach beyond your comfort zone a little, be creative, share your faith, share the love of God. And I want all of you to be Christ's witnesses. So when you get to heaven and you see his face, it'll all be worth it. And you hear those special, amazing words that we're all hoping to hear. Well done, good and faithful servant. I want us to pray, all of us together out loud, but especially you who lifted your hands. Can you pray this with me? Everybody in this room out loud after me. Say, Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sins. I repent for all I've done wrong. I believe that you died and rose again for me. I make you Lord and Savior of my life. Thank you for loving me. thank you for changing me. Even my regrets, I turn over to you, and I choose to trust you with all of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can you take a moment, put your hands together and celebrate those who made a decision? Come on. The Bible says all of heaven throws a party and rejoices when one makes a decision. Listen, friend, in the seat pocket in front of you, there's a little card, and it's called a commitment card. And I'm going to ask those of you that prayed that prayer, lifted your hands, or maybe you didn't lift your hands, but you say, Mark, that was me. And you prayed that prayer, and I know God did something inside of me. Would you take just a few moments and fill that out? Because after this service and throughout this next week, I'm going to be taking those cards, and I'm going to be praying over you. I'm going to be praying just like I do a waiter or a waitress before they serve a meal, or a young man like I did with Emmanuel there at the gym. I'm going to be praying for you. I'm going to be praying God's blessing over you this holiday season. I'm going to be praying over you that God will give you the boldness and the faith to be able to step out, the words to be able to speak. I'm going to be praying over you that as those sins were forgiven, that you'll feel the presence and power of Almighty God, and that the enemy won't be able to give you spiritual laryngitis and steal your voice. And in a moment, I'm going to release you. And if you'll take those cards, and there'll be ushers stationed at the back doors, if you'll simply turn those in on the way out today, we'll have record of that need, and I'll be praying for you and with you. But if you need prayer at the close of this service, you just feel like, man, God's touched my heart. I just need that prayer. Or maybe you need to get over that fear, and you need for somebody to pray that God release you from all that fear. Listen, these altars are open for you. These steps right here, they're an altar. We make that altar. We've got prayer partners and leaders, pastors and deacons that are ready to pray for you. And we want to invite you into that prayer. We want to open the doorway to you and say, if there's a need, we want to help meet it. If you need a Bible, we've got Bibles free of charge. We just want to bless you with that. If you need help in your walk of faith, we're here to help you. We're on a spiritual journey together. And on the way out today, if you're joining with us for the first time, my wife Michelle and I, we're going to head out these doors and slip down this hallway, and we're going to meet you out there by our Connection Cafe just to give you a free gift for hanging out with us today. We're so glad that you made a journey here today to be a part of our services. And we just want to say we love you. We won't take up a bunch of your time. Just shake our hand. Let us know it's your first time, and we'll be glad to put that gift into your hands. Well, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance on you and bring you peace. And may the Lord our God write his name on your heart and declare, you're my child. No one can take you from my hand. May you understand the significance of your voice, that you sharing your testimony, your witness, your faith, your love, it's all God's plan and purpose. And may you be a blessing to your family, to your church family, to the neighborhood that you live in, to this city, to this region, to this world. I bless you to be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. We love you. Have a Jesus-filled week. We will see you next Sunday for our one-hour service at Christmas Eve. God bless you. Bring somebody with you when you come out next week. You're dismissed.